93 KHJ American Samoa's best music mix. I'm on Sunrise here, and show is sponsored by Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr. bringing us a check of our weather forecast and Fox News. Just disregard that. 93 KHJ, we go ahead and welcome our first series of guests today. We have the Medicaid office, and on the heels of a very successful summit talking about preventative health measures that we can take and take charge of our health, we have their director, executive director, Luisa Kwaya. Hey, director, good to see you.
Good morning, John. Talofa lava, American Samoa.
Talofa. And also communications liaison, and we have Menino Reed. Hey, Menino, how are you?
Good morning, John. Good morning. Great to be here.
And DOH's acting clinical director, a guest on behalf of Medicaid, we want to welcome Dr. Emanoni Dakua. Talofa lava and Yandra Vinaka, doctor.
Talofa lava and Yandra Vinaka, John.
So good to have you here. All right, so I just want to sort of introduce everybody. Director or Menino, would you like to kind of take us through what we're going to be talking about today and maybe in the future?
Yes, I just want to start off by thanking everyone who showed up and participated in our 2026 Medicaid Summit. We held it last month, March 24th and 25th, at the ASCC Multipurpose Center. And we brought together providers, government, and community voices around one focus, and that theme was to strengthen a more health-resilient American Samoa through prevention. And we're on air today because the summit wasn't the finish line. It was really the starting point or launching pad. Now the real work begins, right, Dr. Emanoni?
Right.
We've moved into implementation, taking what we heard and turning it into action. We heard a few consistent things through our survey and feedback, and Menino can attest to this. We heard that people still need better access, whether that's providers, transportation, or understanding how to use Medicaid. You know, we heard that there's a gap in awareness still. Some communities still don't fully understand or know what services are available. Coordination needs to improve. Agencies and providers need to work closely together still. You know, even since the last summit, we talked about getting out of our silos and collaborating more. And I think we're doing good at that, but we need to do better. Mm-hmm. And people want care that actually meets them where they are, not just in the clinics, but in the community. And so that's why Dr. Emanoni is here to talk about what services we offer in the clinics. I think one of the strongest messages that came up was from Dr. Audrey Tarr, where she talked about the idea of going upstream and relating the analogy to people in the river, getting stuck in the river, and that American Samoa is great at rescuing efforts in a crisis and pulling people out, but we really need to understand why people are falling in the river in the first place and going upstream to work on solutions to prevent them from going into the water. And that means more prevention, earlier diagnosis, addressing root causes. And so we're shifting our focus from access to prevention. Okay, I'm going to pause there. I feel like I have lots to say, but what do you think?
All right, Menino, did you want to dovetail on that?
No, that's actually what we're here for. We're going to be talking about the things that we're going to be doing since the summit. We've heard the community. We've received so much feedback, and we're ready to put it all in action. And we're excited to introduce some of more programs in the future that talks about these preventative services that was emphasized at the summit.
Hey, congratulations, by the way. That summit was excellent. I caught some of the parts on KVZK and just really good feedback. And yeah, I just imagined all the things that we can avoid if we just take preventative health precautions like you were kind of focusing on there. Hey, we also want to welcome Deputy Director Austin. Hey, Austin, good to see you there.
Good morning, American Samoa.
Good morning, Deputy.
Yes, and Director, did you kind of want to take us into the segment that we're going to be talking about with Dr. Anoni this morning?
Sure. So what we're doing now is we're focused on a few things. We're reviewing all survey data and feedback. That's what Menino and her team are doing. And we're finalizing a clear action plan with priorities and strengthening coordination with our partners, LBJ, Department of Health, and others. And that's where I wanted to introduce Dr. Emanoni. It's because Dr. Amanoni is an expert in wellness, and we need a lot more of that here on the prevention side. And so, Doctor, I would like for you to just share your thoughts on how the Medicaid Summit went, but also some key takeaways and what American Samoa, our communities, can do this week to help improve their health, and what your thoughts are on wellness. That's a whole lot I asked you to do, but you focus on where you need to.
Yeah, thank you, Director. It is a privilege for me to be here this morning with the Medicaid team. We've been working closely together prior to this, and for me, the summit was a great opportunity to collaborate with other programs, with other people, to focus on what we really need to do better, both for DOH and for the community, about wellness and preventive health. So when we talk about wellness, we just talk about a state of well-being. You know, we all want to feel good, and wellness is a general term to talk about how we should feel on the inside as well as how we should look on the outside. And then preventive health is really about making sure that we don't get the disease in the first place. So where DOH comes in at the moment, and I think LBJ as well, we're on the where the intervention comes in. Once you get the disease, you come to us, and then we treat the disease. But more importantly than that, and I thank Director Choir for really spearheading the initiative to help us make sure that we don't come to the hospital in the first place. There's a lot that you can do at any given time. The majority of people are well, but so we want to build programs that make sure we keep them well. So we're going to talk about, when we talk about wellness, we're talking about keeping the laws of health. And I want to stress the point that it's laws, because it's as simple as that. If you know the law and you keep it, they're called natural laws, you are well. If you
so break, this is natural law, not the not a law passed in the legislation.
No.
Okay.
It's nature's law. So you can see this happening in nature, especially with animals. We are governed by the same laws and rules. So if you keep them, you're healthy. If you break them, you get sick. And so no matter what stage of health or disease you are at, once you keep the law, you can do a lot to reverse the disease up to a certain degree. So that's what I want to talk about. And then a lot of it is really just your personal motivation, the capability as well for you to know what to do, and then the environment. Mm-hmm. So that one tip that Director was asking for, I just advise people the biggest factor in wellness right now is nutrition. So start small. I always tell people, add a little bit more vegetables to your food, at least one meal a day. For those who are ahead of that, maybe one whole plant-based meal a day. And for those who are ahead of those, maybe a plant-based day for you.
What happened?
What's that?
Like, I'll go to Marlena Mamea's, you know, the American Samoa Through the Years is great page. And I look at what a Fiafia looked like in like 1984. And the people in the Fiafia in 1984 don't look like the people in 2026. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of a difference. So what happened from 1984 to 2026?
A big part of that is lifestyle. Really, it's about the foods that we have imported, the cultures that we have imported, and also the more sedentary lifestyle that we're living now.
How do you explain that? What's sedentary
sitting,
lifestyle?
Sitting, what we're doing right now.
What we're doing
now.
Scrolling endlessly, looking at Facebook reels. Doom scrolling, yes.
Doom right. Scrolling, sitting. I totally believe AC. That, you know?
Yeah.
And portion
AC,
size.
AC, yes.
Our portion yes. size yes. has just gone
yes.
well beyond what we need.
Sure,
here.
And a lot of that has to do with the processing of food. So we are not getting satiety out of the foods that we're eating because it doesn't have fiber, and fiber is only found in plant-based foods. And that was...
Hey, you're talking about the laws. If you put me in the phono, I would ban all that. I mean, there's so much stuff that should just not be allowed to come here, man. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, processed food. Killing people. This corned beef.
Yes.
Anything that comes out of a can that's basically not grown out of the ground is... so bad for you.
Right.
Like, where even is the FDA in allowing this stuff to, like, be exported from the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's killing people. I mean, you look at... I know you guys go to funerals all the time. As you get older, it's just a way of life. But, I mean, you look at, like, the date of death, and it's like, this person could have easily lived another 30 or 40 or 50 years, you know?
And it's a younger generation that is experiencing strokes, heart attacks. I mean, it's my generation and younger now.
Yeah.
Before, we were thinking like the elderly were experiencing.
Yeah, oh, he's 70.
Now, you've got people in their 30s, in their 40s. Yes. The mortality rate is increasing. A lot of this does have to do with what we are importing here and what's available, but it's also it's access to nutrition. And I think Dr. Aminoni hit it on the nail. Start small, because this is a big mammoth problem, right, John?
Yeah.
But starting small with nutrition, he said adding vegetables. I'm thinking replacing something with the vegetables, maybe not adding more, because
I have a theory, though, if I could just impose this. Like, if you know, nobody really pays rent here. So the most expensive thing in a household is a car payment. And these massive trucks that people are buying, they're $80,000. I know what the median income is here. They're not paying cash for it. And so the majority of their paycheck goes to pay the note on the truck that they cannot afford, and then they're stuck eating bad food. You just eat, you know, Simon, Vienna sausages, corned beef. You know, that stuff is the cheapest food to buy. And as a result, you have the awesome truck that you don't really own. The truck owns you, and you are a slave to this processed food that is killing people. Like you said, director, you know, people are checking out at like 30. Like, that's still, I mean, you and I are like near 50. I look at a 30-year-old, it's like, you're a youngin', you know? You're a kid. What are you doing dying now, you know? And it's not an uncommonality. It's happening a lot. Yeah.
You raised a very important point that you said people are becoming slaves to these foods, and that's important sometimes. We fail to put the blame where the blame is supposed to be placed, sometimes with the food corporations. They employ scientists that actually tempt our taste palate.
Addiction.
So there's a lot of chemicals in the food. And sometimes, you know, it is almost next to impossible for people to quit unless if we have strategies in place, programs in place that encourage them actually change their palate. It takes quite a while for people to change their taste buds. So that's something that we need to educate the public about. You know, sometimes when you blame people, they become defensive. So I always believe in motivating people, you know, giving them the why that they need to do to change, but also having specific programs that addresses the chemical side of things, the physiology part of things, that there are chemicals like MSG that keeps people hooked.
That's one thing. I love these Chinese restaurants. Sorry. Yes. What are they eating? Because I know they're not eating MSG. Like, what are they? They don't eat the food that they're cooking, but that MSG is, you're right, it makes it so addictive.
Like, gets people hooked,
And then you're even full. And I remember Pizza Hut used to have it when they were here, but they put MSG in their pizza. And I'd be like, I ate a whole pizza. What am I doing? Still hungry. Mm-hmm. And it's the MSG that, that's genetically engineered in some. Does not belong in food, man. Like, what is that doing? Maybe in a plastic, but not our food.
So to be on the safe side, go natural. Go with what God gave us in Genesis 1:29, and you won't go wrong.
All right.
So eat out of the ground, I always tell people. The more you
bring
do
it
that,
back. Bring it back.
Go back to nature, yes.
That used to be sustenance living or whatever, and we've gotten away from that. And I guess we're just so busy and it's so expensive, you kind of have to have both incomes working at the same time in a household. But, I don't know. It's either do that or check out at 30.
It's also about presentation and taste. So we've got to entice people to go more plant-based so that that includes how it looks on the plate and how it tastes. So it's important to get in the people that know how to do that so we can motivate people to change better.
What about seasoning,
There are condiments that you can use and spices that are natural that help the taste bud, and you've got to do a lot of that when you're transitioning from meat-based to a more plant-based.
I see. Okay. All right. So I feel very passionate about this, though.
I can see that.
It's unfortunate because I just
good
see it's like, man, I don't want, you know, my kids, these habits are everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. These canteens that are in schools, my gosh, there's just slop in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. All right. Sorry. Didn't mean to get off on a rant, but it's good to have this. And you can prevent it all by just governing what you eat and the choices you make. Hey, what about alcohol? They used to say, the doctor used to tell you, a glass of wine is good for your heart. Is that still?
That was the recommendation before. Now it's absolutely no alcohol is the way to go. You know, there's debates about the resveratrol on the wine. But I think the current recommendation is no alcohol.
Right.
I drink a little bit of alcohol here and there, but, you know, I don't go into alcohol and smoking and drugs because everybody understands that that's not good, but there's debates and there's confusion around food mostly. Mm-hmm. And food is the biggest factor that keeps us unhealthy. So
I think it's also moderation, right? You know,
moderation, yes.
Moderation when you're able, but it's difficult with things that you consume that have addictive properties.
You have a chemical in there saying...
Where you're trying to just moderate, but it doesn't happen because you just want more and more of it. And the satiety that you talked about is not...
What's that satiety? What does that mean?
Being satisfied, being feeling satisfied, where you said you keep eating pizza, but you're still hungry an hour later.
Yeah.
That's not nutrition that fills you. That makes you feel.
No, it's not, is it?
And for Pacific Islanders, we don't know what moderation is. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of that's conversation for another day. The trauma, you know, that we go through. There's a lot of trauma in our community, so sometimes we use these, substances as painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start using them, you do get addicted really fast. Because it's covering up, you know, emotional pain, which
I so believe that.
Stress
That's a
eating.
Great episode, Dr. Aminoni. Right?
One thing I want to ask you about that, though, is like, you talk about Pacific Islanders, they're avoiding people. Like, so they would get in the va'a and go out for days, months, weeks, whatever, for long periods of time. And I'm assuming that they went without food. Does their digestive system, you know, does that have anything to do with like how fast or slow they process food compared to, you know, a mainlander?
In general, I think the olden days, they ate much less than what we're eating now. And a lot of that had to do, like I said, with fiber. So fiber keeps you full for longer.
Okay.
As opposed to the...
There was no In-N-Out Burger in 1546 whenever they're, you know, getting in the canoe to Tonga. Okay. All right. All right. I got to be careful because if I say there are our local advertisers, then we won't make payroll. So, In-N-Out Burger, Taco Bell. All right. But yeah, same thing. There was no fast food then, though, with all this poisonous chemicals and stuff. I think that's a problem, not just specific to Samoa either, here in American Samoa. I mean, it is. Unfortunately, an alarming statistic. I think we're the most obese country per capita in the world.
I've heard that.
But every country is dealing with that right now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just obesity. It's not just American Samoa. I think every Western country is, you know, it's just the food has gotten unhealthier over the last 20 or 30 years.
Well, you see the outcomes in the hospital. You see how people are responding to poor health and the consumption of processed foods, too. And we're seeing it here. Like at Medicaid, we process a lot of off-island referral requests where we're sending people off-island for care, primarily for vision, you know, ophthalmology, and then cardiology a second, orthopedics. And a lot of it stems back to the NCDs that we do have here. That's right, Deputy. You want to talk about a little bit about?
Yeah, what is an NCD? Deputy Austin here. Hey.
Hi. I believe Dr. Aminoni is the expert on NCDs, but it's just non-communicable diseases, which includes obesity, high blood pressure, and I think
diabetes.
Those are the diabetes. And those are really the underlying factors for all these referrals that are coming through the Medicaid office and through LBJ, and I'm pretty sure they are also patients of the Department of Health at some point in their medical journey. And majority of the time for our off-island providers, they're unable to treat the illness or sickness that they were referred for because of all these other, you know, comorbidities. They have to treat, they cannot operate on their cataract because, high blood pressure is too high, their diabetes is through the roof. So most of the time they're doing preventative measures to bring down the high blood pressure or the diabetes before they can actually operate. And just in terms of Medicaid, it's just prolonging the care. That's more dollars that we could have just like done that here. And I guess that's this whole prevention initiative with LBJ and DOH is to do that. Before you get to New Zealand or to Hawaii, what can we do here?
Could you institute some kind of curriculum in the schools? Because it sounds like a lot of these folks are like, you know, they've just been doing it their whole lives because they didn't, you know any better.
I believe there are health sciences and courses through HRSA that are in the school, also at ASCC, but we need to do more.
Yeah.
We need to do more outreach.
Like, that needs to be K-4 curriculum.
Yeah. Yes.
And there was also a recommendation during the summit from one of the, I think it was a former educator, who asked that this needs to be, it needs to start from early childhood education and in homes, because obviously that's where the child learns more, is from home. And then into ECE and throughout the whole educational system.
And we're not responding quick enough. Like, Medicaid can't process the referrals in a timely manner because there's so much of it coming, which is why we're trying to focus on prevention. You know, if we can, like we said with the river, start going upstream and figuring out why people are falling in the river in the first place and addressing it there, as opposed to addressing it in while they're in a crisis. That's why the emergency room is so full every day. You know, our poor doctors are overworked, you know, and there aren't enough in terms of ratio of doctor to patient here. And so we've got DOH and LBJ pretty much floundering. And I'm like, okay, we can process this all day long on our end, but it's still not making a dent. There's still people in the river, you know. So I think here we have, this has to be a collaborative effort with the community, not just government. We all have to take our health in our own hands and make some better choices for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. No, your absolute diabetes is not just specific to government workers. It's everybody that is dealing with, and then just the food choices and the food availabilities I don't know what's it, but the other thing too, I think it's like it's a price point, you know. It's cheaper to eat processed foods.
Yes.
And it takes, and it's cheaper on, it doesn't take as much time either. It's a pain to
convenience
cook. When I can go to, you know, some slop shop on the corner roadside and get a plate for $5 and feed my family versus, oh, I got to get home, I got to go to Costco, I got to go buy this, this, and that, and then I got to cook it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I don't know. What's the solution to that?
It actually, that's one of those. it's actually cheaper if you go exclusively plant-based using local foods. For example, one group of foods that a lot of people don't know about or don't even eat is legumes. Mm-hmm. Legumes are the proteins for people who eat plant-based, so they can be prepared in a way that substitutes for meat. But you're right, the problem is when people think plant-based, they think about the processed plant-based, like soy products. Those are expensive. If we go local, we eat, you know, the greens, the starches, and the proteins like legumes, it really is quite cheap.
And legumes are beans, right?
Beans, yes. The lentils, the beans. And there's a lot of that in TSM. I go there and shop from there. $3 for a pack of that can feed a whole family.
What about pork? Size 2. Mooly PP.
Yeah.
Is that part of a plant-based diet? Or
You know, when we talk food, especially in Pacific cultures, we talk about culture as well. Food is coupled with culture, so sometimes it's a sensitive subject. So I believe we need to include the community. Before I used to say, don't eat this, eat this. Now I say, eat more of this, eat less of this, just like that. So people know at least 50% of the time or more you're eating, you know, more healthy food than what we're doing. Maybe what we do in Fiji now in some spaces is when you go to a falavalava, you have a meat-based table and then you have a plant-based table. Give people the option to do what they want, to eat the way they want. You know, I know it's a contentious issue here, but, you know, we can start somewhere, like start small.
I agree. Yeah.
And then talking about how to build this, you know, a good idea is build into curriculums in schools, we have to build systems. It's not enough that this is a great start, you know, we're having regular summits every year. That's a system, as long as you're doing it every year. We need written policies in workplaces that encourage healthy behavior. And then we need events, regular scheduled events in villages for youth groups. Those are the systems that we need to build to ensure that not only people are encouraged or motivated to change, but that the change is sustainable.
All right. Good stuff. I got to go. I'm sure you guys do too, but thank you. Great discussion here today. We went close to a half hour. I'm going to get in trouble. I think my boss is off, Alan. But anyway, yeah, it's a great conversation. And, you know, it just affects everybody. You know, somebody at their, you know, you're taking somebody in your house to get dialysis or, you know, that just is dealing with an NCD or at the ER or waiting to hear if their Medicaid referral got approved. You know, so it's a stressful thing. So I'm glad you guys were able to bring attention to it. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to be doing this from now on then, once a week. Is that right, Madam Communications Liaison?
Yes, you are. And I'm so glad that you're still giving us more time, because in the segment that we're trying to introduce, we will need a little bit more time. And that's our Medicaid wellness segment. We're going to be inviting people from the community, professional providers, to talk about ways that we can handle preventative care. And there's a variety of topics that, you know, preventative care, it's a very broad term. Mm-hmm. So it's like today, we talked about nutrition. And then the next thing that we could probably talk about is like mental health awareness. And these are things that all fall under preventative care. And it's a segment that we're excited that Medicaid is going to be introducing here at KHJ.
Okay, awesome. So hopefully we can keep the conversation going. It's an important one, and yeah, it's not just like a one annual summit, and then let's go back to, you know, doing what we do, and I'll exactly. See you in 12 months when I'm 30 pounds heavier. All right, because that's an easy thing to do, man. Weight can creep up out here in American Samoa, you know. It's just, it's a struggle, so. All right, well, God bless you guys. Deputy Austin, thanks for coming on, and we'll see you guys on V103. We'll be back. After these messages,
John.
KHJ, stand by. Yeah.